This is Russ Davis. Join me for Jazz America after the latest news on VOA Music Mix.
White House says U.S. willing to turn to Mideast allies to end violence. And Secretary Kerry is in Afghanistan for talks with rival presidential candidates. I'm Bill Michaels, reporting from Washington. The White House says it's willing to turn to some of its Middle East allies to help bring an end to the violence between Israel and the Palestinians. White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
So there are a number of relationships the United States has that we are willing to leverage in the region to try to bring about an end to the rocket fire that's originating in Gaza and, as we saw this morning, in Lebanon.
Earnest also condemned rocket attacks on Israel from Lebanon. He reaffirmed Israel's right to defend itself while, again, appealing to all sides to protect civilian lives and restore calm. Friday's attack from southern Lebanon struck northern Israel near the border and caused no casualties. It's unclear who fired the rockets. Hamas and other militants in Gaza have fired more than 550 rockets into Israel. Israel has responded with airstrikes that Palestinian officials say have killed more than 100 people, including women and children. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has held separate talks with rival Afghan presidential candidates and outgoing President Hamid Karzai in Kabul to try to seek a resolution to a bitter election dispute. Ayaz Gul reports from Islamabad.
Allegations of widespread fraud in last month's runoff vote have provoked presidential hopeful Abdullah Abdullah to reject preliminary results that put rival candidate Ashraf Ghani in the lead. Kerry spoke to reporters in Kabul, stressing the importance of his trip to the country.
I'm here because President Obama and the United States of America are deeply interested in a unified, democratic, and stable Afghanistan.
Abdullah alleges that President Karzai, the Election Commission, and the Ghani campaign colluded against him to organize ballot stuffing, charges that have been denied. Ayaz Gul for VOA News, Islamabad.
Ukraine's defense ministry says a rocket attack by pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine Friday killed at least 19 troops and wounded 93. The rebels targeted a village in the Luhansk region near the Russian border. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko said those responsible will be found and destroyed. Fighting has surged in the east since the Ukrainian government ceasefire expired at the end of June. A car bomb in the Kurdish-controlled city of Kirkuk in northern Iraq has killed at least 25 people and wounded 25 others. The dead include civilians and Kurdish soldiers manning a checkpoint. The blast shattered windows in nearby homes. No one has claimed responsibility. Earlier Friday, Kurdish forces seized two northern Iraqi oil fields near Kirkuk, saying they want to secure the facilities. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is shutting down two labs that handle highly infectious pathogens and imposing an immediate moratorium on shipment of all biological materials from high-level security laboratories until safety problems are addressed. The actions follow several troubling lapses in laboratory safety. Last month, more than 80 CDC scientists at three labs were potentially exposed to live anthrax. Then this week, it was announced that six long-forgotten vials of live smallpox virus were found in a storeroom at a U.S. Food and Drug Administration laboratory. Finally, CDC officials announced the discovery this week that a CDC laboratory accidentally contaminated low-risk bird flu samples with a highly pathogenic strain of the H5N1 avian flu and shipped it to a government lab. CDC Director Tom Frieden.
What the events of the past couple of months have told me is that there's a problem, and it's a symptom of a broader problem of laboratory safety. And we need to stop, reassess, fix, and make sure that we do everything humanly possible to make sure that events like this never happen in the future.
You can read more about this story at our website, voanews.com. U.S. pro basketball superstar LeBron James says he is returning to play for the Cleveland Cavaliers after spending four seasons with the Miami Heat. From Washington, I'm Bill Michaels, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA. This is Russ Davis. Welcome to Jazz America. On the 26th of May, 2014, Miles Davis would have been 88 years old. And on that date, the city of New York named the street he lived on for many years, 77th between Riverside and West End, Miles Davis Way. If the city of New York stands for anything, it stands for supporting the arts and being a center where any kind of art can be created. Well, that's certainly the case with jazz. New York City has to be considered the center, the capital of jazz in the world, and it has been for a number of decades. So it's appropriate that the city of New York honor the great Miles Davis, who lived at 77th Street between Riverside Drive and West End Avenue for a number of years. Some of his most important work, like Bitches Brew and In a Silent Way, were conceived of and written in that very spot, and some of the most famous musicians in all of jazz history would stop by to hang out with Miles, talk jazz, and make jazz. We'll celebrate that fact later on Jazz America, but right now we'll turn to the story of another of the great trumpeters of jazz history who died far too young. Lee Morgan was born in Philadelphia on the 10th of July in 1938. He died in New York City in February of 72. He was only 33 years old, killed by his own common-law wife in a fit of anger outside of a jazz club that he was playing in Manhattan. He left an incredible musical legacy, having a meteoric rise, working with the likes of Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers on some of their most famous songs, and then going solo and creating this song and many others. This song, probably his most famous. Here's the title cut from Lee Morgan's classic from 1963, The Sidewinder, to begin this hour of VOA's Jazz America. Thank you.
every morning find me moaning. I'm alone and crying the blue. I'm so tired of paying these dues. Everybody knows I'm moaning. Every evening find me moaning. Cause of all the trouble I see, life is a losing gamble to me. Everybody knows that I'm moaning. Lord, I spend plenty of days and nights alone with my grief. And I pray, I really and truly pray, somebody will come and bring me relief. Every evening find me moaning. Cause of all of the trouble I see, life is a losing gamble to me. Everybody knows that I'm moaning. Let's go. morning, find me moaning. I'm alone and crying the blues. I'm so tired of paying these dues. Everybody knows that I'm moaning. Every evening find me moaning. Cause of all of the trouble I see, life is a losing gamble to me. Everybody knows that I'm moaning. Lord, I spend plenty of days and nights along with my dream. Well, I pray, I really and truly pray, somebody will come and bring me relief. Every evening find me moaning. Cause of all of the trouble I see, life's a losing gamble to me. Everybody knows that I'm moaning.
The man who is just about the hottest jazz vocalist in the world today, in many ways the heir apparent to the likes of Joe Williams and John Hendricks, he is Gregory Porter, one of the three singers who were invited by Paul Zauner to join with his Paul Zauner's Blue Brass to create an album that's just out called Great Voices of Harlem. And of course, that was the Bobby Timmons classic, Moanin'. Gregory Porter on the vocals, and preceding that, the classic, The Sidewinder, from the late, great Lee Morgan. Lee Morgan and Bobby Timmons were both in Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers back in the 1950s when the original instrumental version of Moanin' was released, by the way. So we had a couple of examples of great groove and jazz right there, swing and stuff from the post-bop era. The era known as hard bop, and we investigated some of that last week in our salute to the late, great Horace Silver. This is Russ Davis. You're listening to VOA's Jazz America, and this week we're celebrating Miles Davis and the naming of the street he lived on for a number of years in New York City, Miles Davis Way. After the ceremony, outdoors, on the actual street, 77th Street between Riverside Drive and West End Avenue, the crowd gathered inside the famous Harlem jazz club, Minton's, for a gala celebration as many people stood around together, listened to Miles Davis music, and talked about the great man. Among them, the gentleman that many feel was the heir apparent to Miles in many ways. In fact, Herbie Hancock invited Wallace Roney to be in his VSOP band in celebration of Miles to record and tour the world. And the person who played the trumpet was Wallace Roney. I caught up with him at Minton's. Who better to run into on the 26th of May, 2014, the 88th birthday, well, would have been the 88th birthday of Miles Davis, than one of his friends and associates and a person who stood on the stage and took his place and in the studio from time to time, the great Wallace Roney. Great to see you, my friend, and some thoughts about Miles.
Thank you. First of all, I'm honored. I don't even consider myself his friend. I consider myself a protege, you know, because he's... was, you know, wasn't on his level, but he was one of the greatest artists ever, you know. I was honored to be there.
You know, I heard an interview with a French journalist years ago who asked him, tell me about some of your friends. And he said, my friends are mostly musicians. I don't really have a lot of friends, so my friends are the musicians. And I think you were a friend of his.
Well, you got to understand, I think when he means friends is like John Coltrane, those guys. I'm more the person that looked up to him, and I was close to him. But, you know, it's like, how can you be a friend of your father?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I understand. Yeah. I got you. You know, Wallace, just one more little thing, and I think we've talked about this a time or two. I have a feeling that Miles inspired you to go electric, to be bold enough to spread out and play with an electric groove that a lot of purists, if you will, would turn their nose up at. Would you say that that is true?
Inspired me to go electric or anything that pushes the envelope.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Ask and answer. Wallace Roney, great to see you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
From Wallace Roney's album, No Room for Argument, here's the song Metropolis on Jazz America from the VOA Music Mix Network. Can't you just hear the influence of Miles Davis when you hear Wallace Roney play the trumpet? Beautiful music. Metropolis from Wallace Roney's solo album, No Room for Argument, here on VOA's Jazz America. You're just about to hear, in just a bit, the comments of the nephew of Miles Davis, Vince Wilburn Jr., a very fine musician, a drummer in his own right, who worked with Miles Davis in the last decade of his life and career, and a great producer, too. You'll hear his story and his thoughts about his uncle. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address, jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. Here's a message I've received recently. It reads as follows. I've been listening to your morning show, Jazz America. At least it is on mornings in Kuwait on VOA on Saturdays. My request goes back to the late 70s when I first heard John Klemmer while working on a research boat on Lake Erie, Pennsylvania. His Brasilia album has been a favorite of mine since. And my soon-to-be wife in 1984 had her first taste of John Klemmer's saxophone style as I used it to successfully court her. Oh, that's what a story. That will be 29 years this September, by the way. Could I request some music by John Klemmer when you get a chance on your Saturday program? Best regards, David Gazda from Kuwait. Well, David, thank you so much. I searched high and low, and unfortunately, I do not have a copy of the album Brasilia, but I do have a very romantic song by John Klemmer. And back in 1975, when he recorded this work, he had some all-star players working with him, like Dave Grusin on keyboards and Larry Carlton on guitar. Here's the title cut from the album Touch. John Klemmer, just for you, David Gazda. And your lovely wife of 29 years this September, listening to VOA's Jazz America in Kuwait. Thank you. If you know the music of Miles Davis very well, then that song was probably very familiar to you, and you had the sense that it needed to move into the next song in the medley, It's About That Time, because what you just heard is In a Silent Way, a solo version of it written by Joe Zawinul and recorded and released on his own 1971 release, simply titled Zawinul. That was a beautiful song that he was invited by Miles Davis to bring to a session. He, of course, used to spend lots of time on Miles Davis Way at 77th Street in New York City, did Joe Zawinul when he came here as a young man. And by the way, the liner notes of the song you just heard, In a Silent Way, from Joe Zawinul, relate the fact that this song was inspired by Joe Zawinul's days as a shepherd boy growing up in Austria before he made his way to the United States. This is Russ Davis. You're listening to VOA's Jazz America. On the 28th of May, 2014, the day that Miles Davis would have been 88 years old, the street that he lived on in New York City at 77th Street on the Upper West Side was renamed Miles Davis Way. After that event, a gala reception happened at the Harlem Club Mentons, and a number of those who knew and loved Miles gathered there. I had a chance to speak with some of those artists. What better person to speak to on the day that Miles Davis would have been 88 years old, the 26th of May in 2014, than the man who called him Uncle Miles, Vince Wilburn Jr. Great to see you, my friend.
Great to be here. Great to be seen.
Well, a million questions, but first off, to have the street that he lived on and so many people gathered and so much history was made, named after him on this day, his 88th birthday. What a magical moment.
Yes, it is. It's a very great honor for Uncle Miles, and he paved the way for all of us, all of the world. You know, he took chances with the music. He never rested on his laurels. And we're all still trying to catch up to his music, you know, and it's timeless, you know, long after we're gone.
You were there in the last decade of his life, and you had a special, unique perspective that very few, well, really no one else had. Miles once said in an interview with a French journalist, "I don't have many friends. My friends are my musicians." But you had that connection of blood relative and musician during that period of time. Mm-hmm. Just some thoughts about that. That's a unique perspective to be making music with him from.
Well, I mean, it's I call it Miles Davis University, and the fact that he believed in me as a musician, as a person, to share the stage with him was an honor, you know. But I think he saw something in me as a kid. And I was a little drummer boy, and I always wanted my mom to get me a drum set. So he told my mom, "Well, Dorothy, get him a kit to see if he's serious. And if he's serious, then we'll get him a professional kit." And that's what happened.
And you were, from the story I heard, about 9 years old, and here you are playing with Dave Holland.
I did a little Cold Sweat beat in Chicago, a place called a Plug Nickel. How you doing?
Ooh, Cold Sweat. That sounds good.
A little James Brown beat, and everybody played around me.
I can hear that now. Yeah.
Miles Davis returned after a very long hiatus, 7 to 8 years, from recording and touring. He came back with new rhythms and new musicians to work with on albums like Decoy. From that, hope you enjoyed the song Code MD that featured Branford Marsalis on soprano sax and John Schofield on guitar, among others. And co-producing that work, the nephew of Miles Davis, Vince Wilburn Jr. I want to give you something brand new that is from one of the great organ trios that's been working for the last few decades. Larry Golding's on organ, Peter Bernstein on guitar, and Bill Stewart on the drums from their new release, Ramshackle Serenade. The song is titled Useless Metaphor on Jazz America from the VOA Music Mix Network. Thank you. Larry Golding's trio from Ramshackle Serenade, their latest. We'll return to Minton's in Harlem to continue our celebration of Miles Davis here on Jazz America next hour.